We're going to continue talking about the topic of the Holy Spirit, doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and also just the phenomenon itself of speaking in tongues. Yesterday, I was highlighting how this tongue speaking is not done by our own accord. It's not taught, it's not learned, but it's given completely by the utterance of the Holy Spirit. Okay, just like the wind blowing upon a flame, a fire. Right? Also, this speaking in tongues, it is a mystery. Okay, it's a mystery, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. So it's not normally understood by us, right? And I think that where we left off was talking about Acts chapter 2 from verses 7 onward, where the Jewish people who gathered around the place where they were gathered, where they were praying, they all heard their own language, their own dialect, even though the disciples of Jesus, most of them were from Galilee, right? And we were explaining how this was a miracle of God opening their ears, right? It's not a miracle of the speaking, where they were speaking earthly languages, right? Okay, now, even though this is speaking mysteries, speaking in tongues edifies the speaker, right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Let's go to Sarah. Okay, right? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Okay? So when you have received the Holy Spirit and you're speaking in tongues, you should continue to pray in the Holy Spirit, right? Even though you don't understand it, because the Holy Spirit is actually building you up, is edifying you. How is he edifying you? Let's turn to another verse. Let's turn to Romans 8, verse 26 through 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Brian. Okay, right? This is how the Holy Spirit edifies us. Okay? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Okay? When God's Spirit dwells in us, he knows every weakness that we have. He knows what we should be praying for. So then he will make these groanings which cannot be uttered. I kind of take this a few ways, right? Groanings which cannot be uttered can be a reference to speaking in tongues, right? But also, groanings which cannot be uttered, you can also say it's referring to things that you can't even really express with human language. The Holy Spirit will express in prayer. Right? Because the Spirit, right, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Right. So if you have received the Holy Spirit, you should try to pray in the Spirit often. Okay, pray in tongues often. It's the most powerful way of praying, and therefore it is encouraged by, this is encouraged in the Bible, it's encouraged in the New Testament. Some people, actually not a lot, but I've seen some cases where people have already received the Holy Spirit, and maybe, I don't know, they're tired or something, but when they kneel down to pray, they just, they're silent. And maybe they have some body movement, but that's all, right? And they're not actually praying in tongues. To me, that's not good, okay? Pray in the tongues. If you already have the Holy Spirit, pray in the tongues. Yeah. So in the Bible, there are three ways you can pray, right? You can pray in silence. This is like Old Testament. Hannah, the Bible says, her lips moved, but she did not. She was speaking in her heart to God, right? So it's like a silent prayer. And God heard her prayer. This is in the Old Testament, right? And then also there's prayer in understanding, where you actually vocalize words and speak to God in a prayer, right, in your own language. This is many of the prayers that are recorded in the Bible, right, where there's the content, right? Maybe a lot of them are also vocalized, right? And then the third way of praying is praying in the Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you pray in the Spirit, because if you just pray in understanding and pray in silence, again, you're just using your own mind, right, to try to pray. But this verse tells us that, you know, often we don't know how we should pray for ourselves with your own understanding, with your own experience. Okay? So you should pray in the Spirit instead, because He'll intercede for you. Right? He'll be praying for you exactly what you need, exactly according to God's will, right? If you pray in silence and you pray with words, with earthly language, yes, it's a prayer, and yes, God hears that prayer, but is it according to God's will? Maybe not 100%, right? Maybe not 100%, okay? Maybe we're also limited in what we know and understand, so we can only pray so much. Right? But the Holy Spirit is beyond all of that, right? And knows the past, the present, the future too. So the Holy Spirit will pray about those type of things, right? A testimony I share a lot is the case where one of our U.S. pastors went to Africa 15, 20 years ago, right? And at the time, there were no cell phones. So when he was there, basically he lost contact with his family members for the month that he was there, right? But one day in the afternoon when he was praying there, he was praying in tongues. God opened his ear so he could understand something, right? Understand the tongues. And God was telling him that you should pray for your family. They're going to be in an accident, right? They're going to be in an accident. So he thought, okay, you know, okay, I'll pray. I'll pray for my family, okay? So that was that. After a couple of weeks, he went back to the States. He was walking in his garage. He saw that his car did have some physical damage to it. And then he asked his wife, hey, what happened to the car? She said, oh, we got into a car accident. And as they were talking and chatting, they realized that that accident happened right around that time that that preacher was moved and inspired and understood that he should pray for his family, right? So if, just kind of imagine that, right? He is like 5,000 miles away from home. There's no way he can know that. There's no way he could have prayed for that if he prayed with his own understanding. You understand? Right? Because we're limited. We're limited by time and space. And of course, we know ourselves, but maybe we don't know really ourselves. Right? Not as God sees us, right? And then we don't know a whole bunch of things in this world, right? But the Spirit does. God's Spirit does. So when you pray in the Spirit, He will intercede for you. Okay? So that's why this way of praying, this third way of praying, praying in the Spirit is such a powerful gift that God has given us. And that's why Paul and Jude encouraged us to pray in the Spirit. Let's turn to Ephesians 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Jessica, say. Okay, right? Praying in the Spirit. Right? You have to pray in the Spirit. Also turn to Jude 20. Paul, Jude, verse 20. Right, praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so essentially, basically saying, pray in tongues. Okay, pray in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you feel, some occasions when you feel like a spiritual crisis in a way, like maybe you one day you did something and you regretted it, but you also feel ashamed to go to God, right? Or your conscience is really guilty and you kind of want to run away. Actually, that's the case where you should pray the most, right? Pray in the Holy Spirit the most. That's when you really need the prayer, right? when you go through a spiritual crisis, right? So God gave us this Holy Spirit for a reason, and one of the reasons is that He will intercede for us. He will edify us that way. Right? Okay, any questions on this one, on this slide? I received some other questions related to the Holy Spirit. Right? One of them was, when people receive the Holy Spirit before getting baptized, is this the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament or the New Testament? Okay. Remember, the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament and the New Testament is the same Spirit, right? The same Spirit of God. So please don't think that there's two spirits. Okay. But the way that God Spirit has interacts is different though, right? So in the New Testament, after Jesus was glorified, the downpouring of His Holy Spirit is evidenced by speaking in tongues, as we've been talking about. And therefore, this is, right? If you're speaking in tongues, this is the promised Holy Spirit, even if you're not baptized yet, okay? But I'll talk about this a little bit later on too. After, let's say you're not baptized yet and you have received the Holy Spirit, this is kind of like an encouragement for you to get baptized though, right? Is God maybe giving you a special grace so that you know that God definitely exists, that God is here, that, He'll lead you into the truth and understanding the truth. So you should also get baptized, right? So in the Bible, there are such occasions too, right, where people receive the Holy Spirit before baptism. Okay. Yeah, it's a sign to get baptized quickly. But, like, let's say you keep on delaying and keep on delaying. Actually, this Holy Spirit may leave too. Okay, why? Because sin is always an issue, right? Sin is always an issue. Your sin has not been washed away yet. This Holy Spirit could depart, right? So I think we have some true seekers here, right, who received the Holy Spirit already. it's a good encouragement to you to really heavily consider, like, to be baptized, okay, to have your sins washed away. Okay. Let's go to something a little more general now, right? Okay. So now that we know that the Holy Spirit is poured out in this way and that the evidence is speaking in tongues, what's the way that we can receive the Holy Spirit? There are a few verses to give us some clues, right? The first thing is you must hear in faith. Let's turn to Galatians 3, verse 2. Like, whenever there's a sermon or whenever you're reading the Bible, you have to have faith, right? Have faith that this is true. Galatians 3, verse 2. Catherine. Okay, right? The Galatian churches, they had been kind of deceived by a different gospel. They were kind of gravitating towards a salvation by works of the law, right? So Paul was trying to correct them. And in this verse, he uses this rhetorical question. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The implied answer is by the hearing of faith. Okay. So today, when we are seeking for the Holy Spirit too, we must hear God's word, hear the gospel in faith, with an open heart, completely accepting what God is trying to teach us and give to us. Right? I heard a testimony recently. Right? This happened in an RE teacher seminar. Right? There was a brother who attended the RE teacher seminar, and he had only been baptized for maybe 3-4 years. So just keep that in mind, right? And from the local church that sent him, I think the RE system wasn't quite very developed yet. So what he's noticed is that, you know, the kids aren't really well behaved, okay? And then, so when he went to the RE teacher seminar, from the very start, like when the classes were going on and everything, he basically was thinking, none of this is going to work. None of this is going to work, right? You're teaching all these things, but it's not going to work. So he had this heart of disbelief. Very interestingly, that afternoon or that night when he prayed, he lost the Holy Spirit. He cannot pray in tongues anymore, right? And then it was only after he was reflecting and repenting and realized that he should submit to the teaching of the church and the workers of the church, and he corrected that attitude, that he received the Holy Spirit back in the RETS. Okay? So this is a testimony I heard recently. Faith is very essential in receiving God's grace. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Dexter. Okay, right? So without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Impossible. It's a very strong word, right? God will never be pleased with you if you don't come to him in faith. And what type of faith do we need? First, you have to believe that God exists. That when you kneel down to pray, it's not just speaking to the air. Right? It's not speaking to an imaginary friend or something. No, God really exists. His Spirit exists. And he is here. He's the creator of this universe. That he has come and come into this world to save us. right? Believe that he is. And not only that, you have to believe that God is good. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That I remain persistent in praying for whatever I'm praying for, I will receive this request according to God's will. So same thing with praying for the Holy Spirit. You pray with faith, right? In the classes and everything, and this, your sermons or in your local church, you continue to hear with faith, your Holy Spirit, you'll be more apt to receive the Holy Spirit. Right? Yeah, by the way, when we are talking about these kind of criteria, it's actually same criteria of how we can allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and thrive within us too. Okay, it's kind of like the criteria for the environment for the Holy Spirit to flourish. Okay. Yeah. So like maybe you've been praying and you haven't felt really like God's abidance or God's power in prayer for some time. Could it be some of these reasons that we are lacking, some of these criteria that we're lacking, right? Think about that too, right? Also, I don't want you to misunderstand, right? Because I was talking to a brother recently, right? Some people feel like every time you pray in the Holy Spirit, that means you'll have like a very moving prayer, that you'll, you know, be touched. No, that's not the case either, all right? So long as you're speaking in tongues, you have the Holy Spirit, right? No, you don't have to doubt that. Right, you're praying, you're speaking in tongues, you have the Holy Spirit. Okay? But obviously, every now and then, you truly will feel the presence of the Holy Spirit too, like guiding you, right? Maybe you'll feel him, like in the Bible it says, sometimes he grieves, right? He'll warn you, right? Or he moves you in a certain way, he touches you through God's word or something, right? So every now and then, you may have a experience, right? But of course, that's up to God, right? Yeah, so don't misunderstand that it's like every single time, right? In my daily life, not every single day am I like getting up from prayer with tears and sometimes it's just very normal, right? You just devote your time to God, you speak your heart, you pray for those you're praying for, you pray for the church, and you feel peace, you conclude a prayer, right? So don't misunderstand either, okay? But if it's been a while, right, really, like, you don't even feel, maybe you just don't feel filled by the Holy Spirit. You don't feel like your life has really been guided by the Spirit of God. Maybe we have to think about these things, right? So think about, where is our faith? Because the older that we are, the more complicated our thinking becomes. So sometimes the faith that we have becomes diluted, right? A lot of times you can see a lot of young children receiving the Holy Spirit is because they have that simple faith, right? They know, I need the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. Okay, I'm going to pray hard. And then they receive the Holy Spirit. This past SSC in the West Coast, I heard, 14, 15 people received the Holy Spirit or something, right? Who was a counselor there, right? How old were they? Joseph? 10. And what do you notice about those who received the Holy Spirit? Their hearts were in the right place. They tried their hardest, right? Ephraim, you were a counselor too, right? Anything you notice? They have a desire too, right? Okay. Yeah. Another thing to remember, how to receive the Holy Spirit, you should obey God too. Let's turn to Acts 5:32. Elaine, Acts 5:32. Okay, amen, right? Actually, the main point when Paul was when Peter was speaking here is he was trying to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. Okay, that was his main point. But in passing, as he was talking about this, he's saying that we are the witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit. The okay? Holy Spirit is also the witness to these things, right? And then he had like a parenthetical remark, whom God has given to those who obey him, right? So it gives us another insight how we can receive the Holy Spirit or allow the Holy Spirit to thrive within us, right? We have to obey God, obey his commandments, obey his teachings. Do our best to align our values and our behavior to what God desires. Right? Yeah, so in a few occasions, I remember like when I was in Kenya a couple years ago, I went to a family's house and I saw that they had certain images on the wall of like Jesus Christ. And I told them that they should just take it down. Just take it down, right? Because people use that to worship. And we shouldn't make any images, right, of God. So take it down, right? And when they did that, they received the Holy Spirit in that prayer, right? This March, when I was in the Dominican Republic, I went to a Truth Seekers store, and in the we were there for a few hours, but in the middle of like this gathering, she called me over and she brought me to the back where she had some shelves, and behind some of the products she had this bowl with sugar and like coins and dollar rolled up bills and maybe a candle or something in there. And she was asking me, should I remove this? And then I didn't know what it was, right? So, and then Brother Francisco was with me, and then I was asking, also thinking like, did I misunderstand her? So I was making sure I got the right translation. And then Brother Francisco knew that actually this is related to witchcraft, right? So her sister-in-law, when they first opened that storefront, because it's actually the storefront's actually the sister-in-law's or the brother, right, and the sister-in-law's. And when they just opened it, that sister-in-law put that there kind of as a charm to try to bring, you know, good business and good money and stuff like that, right? Superstitiously, yeah. So, yeah, once I knew that, okay, this is related to witchcraft, sorcery, then I told her, yeah, we should definitely get rid of this, okay? And then when she made that determination, before we left that day, we prayed, she received the Holy Spirit, right? So these are just a couple of examples of how when people are willing to obey the will of God, in this case, just so happens that both are kind of related to the second commandment, right? Where you should not make any images, bow down to other, right? These type of things. When they're willing to obey this command, then God blessed them with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it could be any other thing too, right? Is there a commandment that we keep on breaking? Is there something that we just very rebellious in? Maybe that's keeping us from receiving the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's what is preventing the Holy Spirit to truly fill within us. Okay, yeah. So we need to obey God. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is a very famous verse. All right, let's turn to Acts 2, 38. Let's ask Ryan. Oh, Okay, right? So another couple of criteria, right? You should repent and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? So this is the normal way, you can say, the normal method. Okay? You believe in Jesus, you repent from your wrongdoing, and you get baptized in Jesus' name, you have your sins washed away in the baptism. Right? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter was trying to tell the crowd. Okay? Like I mentioned, even if you're not baptized yet, God sometimes shows grace and then allows you to experience the Holy Spirit first, right? Like Cornelius' family, right? Yeah, and then they receive the Holy Spirit, and Peter realized, oh, they should be baptized too, right? Because God has chosen them, right? But the normal way is you repent and baptize in the name of Jesus. And then this promise of the Holy Spirit is given to you. You will receive the Holy Spirit one day, right? If you continue in the faith. So anybody here receive before they were baptized? Anybody here? Okay, some, right? How many of you received after you were baptized? Okay, that's the normal way. Okay, yeah. But God's sometimes, you know, yeah, very gracious, right? Okay. The other thing is we also need to ask the Father with persistence. And I think I already talked about this passage a day or two ago, right? The Luke 11 passage where Jesus gives some parables about praying for the Holy Spirit. Okay? Like if you're going to your next door neighbor in the middle of the night to borrow bread, just keep on knocking, right? Keep on knocking. And even though he's very tired, but because of your persistence, he will eventually open the door, right? In that passage, it talks about asking, seeking, and knocking, right? And then that means we have to believe in the goodness of God, right? God, if Heavenly Fathers give good gifts to us, we have to believe that God also is even more willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Believe in the goodness of God. Don't doubt that, right? And just continue to ask. Okay, so these are things that you can think about, right, if you're still praying for the Holy Spirit. If you feel like you have no issue with any of these, you have been, you know, full of faith, you have been obeying God, you have already been baptized, right, you have been praying really diligently, then it really is just a matter of time, right? And it's really God's doing, too. God... Maybe it's been a while for some of you, right? Yeah, even for us as pastors, sometimes we're like, hey, how come this brother or sister hasn't received the Holy Spirit yet? Like, we're just thinking, sometimes God is so funny, right? Like, how come, like, the person's so good, right? I'm so faithful, but God has not given the Holy Spirit yet, right? And this is up to God, right? This is in God's hands. Yeah. So really, it's just a matter of God's timing then. Because it is His will, it is His promise, and we just have to continue to believe in that promise and will. Right? For some people, it could take decades, unfortunately, right? But God has a plan there too. Sometimes there's a lot of things that the person learns along the way, right? But it is a promise, and eventually God will grant this Holy Spirit. There was a question I received too. Okay, here it is. Because I think it's the second part of another question of a question I already tried already answered. But let's say the second half says, if a person never felt this warmth or power when receiving the Holy Spirit, do they actually have the Holy Spirit? Okay,
Again, the main criteria of having received the Holy Spirit is the speaking in tongues. Okay? That's all that the Bible tells us. Like when Cornelius and the family received the Holy Spirit, it doesn't say that they saw a vision, did not say that they felt warmth or anything, but they just began to speak in tongues and magnify God. Okay? So that's also the same thing. Today, how God gives the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us, it can vary and differ. Right? That's the work of God. Who are we to criticize how God gives it to each individual? Right? You can't say to God, oh, I wanted to have that type of experience, right? Not my type of experience. No, that was God's doing upon you, right? Okay. And God's grace is sufficient. Okay. Yeah. So just if you are speaking in tongues, thank God, right? You have the Holy Spirit. And you should be grateful that God has given you the Holy Spirit already. Okay? But again, to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work within us and fill within us, we should always constantly go back to those conditions that allow the Holy Spirit to thrive in the first place. Right? How we receive the Holy Spirit in the first place. Okay, next few minutes I want you to copy. Oh, okay, this is one part of your homework, okay, this part. Next few minutes, I want you to just copy this for now before we go over this. All right. Why is it so important to receive the Holy Spirit? This is a list, not complete, but I think highlights some of the major functions of the Holy Spirit that are related to this life. Okay. What does the Holy Spirit do? He guides us into the truth. He convicts us of sin. He satisfies us. He intercedes for us. He sanctifies us. He helps us bear spiritual fruit. He also imparts spiritual gifts to the church to edify the church. Okay. So for your homework, for those of you who have already received the Holy Spirit, I would like you to write a page about how you've seen the Holy Spirit work in your life. Okay? It could be any one of these. Expand on any one of these, or a couple of these, or three of these. Right. After receiving the Holy Spirit, how have you seen the Holy Spirit work in your life? And it could be something else in the Bible that maybe I didn't put up here. Okay. For those who are still praying for the Holy Spirit, I hope you can go back to that other list, right? And just write a page two reflecting. What do you think? Is there something that you can still work on? Right? Is it your faith? Is it your obedience? Is it baptism? Is it persistence in prayer? Okay. And just reflect on that. Or is it? Do you honestly think it's just a matter of timing too? Could be that too, right? So reflect on that if you haven't received the Spirit yet. Do you have a question on the homework? So it really depends if you have received the Holy Spirit yet or not, right? If you have received the Holy Spirit, this is the slide that you can refer to as you're writing your reflection. How have you seen the Holy Spirit work in your life? Like, for example, one thing I didn't put here is I didn't exactly put up here. It's like peace. God, through the Holy Spirit, can grant us peace, a peace that transcends this world. It's technically one of the fruit of the Spirit, too. So maybe that's one aspect of the Holy Spirit you have really experienced, and you can write about that. Okay. You just use this as a reference. For those who haven't received the Holy Spirit yet, then use this list. Okay, like, is there one aspect that you feel you can improve in? Okay, or do you think it's just a matter of timing? Okay, are we good with this one?
Okay. Why is it so important to receive the Holy Spirit? Not only is it important for this life, but also to the next life. Right? Because the Holy Spirit is necessary for salvation. John chapter 3, verse 5.
Right, I think we read this yesterday. Okay, so Jesus said, unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. These are the very words of Jesus. Okay. Yeah. So if you believe in Jesus, obviously you have to believe in his word. He tells us you must be born of the Spirit, so we have to pray for to be born of the Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit. Okay. Titus 3:5 also tells us that is the way that Jesus saves us. Can we go? Carter, can you read Titus 3:5? Okay. Right. It's through the washing of regeneration, baptism, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our heavenly inheritance. Okay, so like Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. Jessica, she. Okay, right? After you hear the word of truth, and having believed in the word of truth, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? He is the guarantee of our inheritance. Okay, so you must have the Holy Spirit to enter the heavenly kingdom in order to receive your heavenly inheritance. Yeah, so there's also additional support in 2 Corinthians 1. Yeah, it's okay, we don't have to turn to that. Right? Okay, so today we basically covered we finished talking about the phenomena of speaking in tongues, why that's so important, how he intercedes for us. And then we talked about how can we receive the Holy Spirit or allow the Holy Spirit to truly fill within us. I'll go back to this tomorrow, right? And then we talked about why it's so important too in this life and also the next. Okay. So tomorrow in our last class, I'll go over just some final things and then some final teachings and then go over some common misconceptions that we run into when we talk with other Christians concerning the Holy Spirit. Okay. Any questions? Wearing a cross? Wearing a cross, right. It depends on your attitude, right? If you feel that this cross is like a charm to protect you, then that's basically leaning towards idolatry. It's best that you get rid of this cross. But some people wear the cross, they don't have that particular intention. They just kind of wear it as a sign that they're a Christian. To me, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, okay. It's not like you're... Like, if people are wearing the cross and they're like, some people kiss it and like they're... Yeah. One time when I was visiting Israel, I went to the place supposedly where Jesus was taken down from the cross, right? And then later he was buried, right? And
They put a granite slab on the ground to mark where Jesus was taken down from the cross. And then you can see all these mostly Catholics and Orthodox Christians, right? Because they're into that type of, you know, those things, right? So they're taking their cross and they're like rubbing it on it, right? They're kissing it. That is really going into idolatry, right? So, yeah, it depends on your heart, okay? Okay, any other questions? Okay, we'll finish tomorrow, right? Let's bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen.